Yes. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, we love you. Oh, Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you. Let us abide with you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Eddie, we thank you. We thank you. You are Abba Father. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this house. Spirit of the living God, you are welcome in this place to dwell and have your way, to permeate the hearts and the minds of your people, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father, for you have sent your Son unto us, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. We give honor to your name, but we give honor to your life. And we take honor in your word, Lord. We love you, and we thank you. Thank you for reminding us on how to live and how to cherish life. God, we thank you. We thank you that in worship, Father, you inhabit the praises of your people. And in worship, Lord, we're able to sit with you and be at your feet. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoo, we'll leave the lights down. And down. How you feel? God is good. God is good. He is so good. I want to thank His Spirit for being in the house. Without being all religious, I just want to be relational. When I feel His presence, He'll use whatever means necessary to let us know that He's for real. There's a sweet, easy spirit in the room. Easy. There's not that heaviness. Can you feel the difference? Did you recognize when it broke? It recognized that it broke in your love, your embrace, and in your freedom, and your expression of love is when it broke. And that's one thing that we have to understand. Love is the most powerful tool. The most powerful tool. The Bible says that the perfect love casts out all fear. I looked over at Katrina and Daniel. I said, did you feel it lift? It was like a big old cloud just went, whoo. It dissipated, and God just came in. Amen. And that's what's necessary, guys. That's what's necessary. I love the fact that we can be as family in a family setting. Because this week you will probably be with your family in a setting that you'll be very happy. And even if there was turmoil and there was unforgiveness or bitterness that was there, there just seems to be a tendency during this time that you could get past it. And you'll let it go. Even if it is for a night. But make it a point, guys, to love your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your neighbors. Because more than anything that is necessary in this world is love and not hate. I want to take this time to show you something. The Lord had told me to tell you and to teach you about change, correct? Well, I have a tendency to try to look at the scripture differently than maybe most, or I just want to see it different. Because I believe there's a different way of looking at scripture. It's not just a book. It's not just a story. It's history with proof. And every atheist that is out there that tries to discredit the Bible, they find more truth. That they walk away realizing there's something to this. I don't want to say what, but there's something to it. That's the power in the Word. When you try to discredit something of truth, it leads you back to truth. Scientists today are even coming against the scientists of years before. That evolution was real. But they've proven that evolution is false. But because they're scientists, they don't want to acknowledge that the Word is true. I thank God we haven't evolved. I thank God that we are the way He ordained us to be. And our love makes us different. So why do you think that when all these things happen and all this trouble and turmoil in the world, it's because the enemy wants us to give up our love? You understand? Just to kind of take you back, and I know it's been all over the news, all over the internet, the shooting in Connecticut in New Haven with the precious children losing their lives. And I look on the faces of each and every one of you. You are someone's child. And your life is in high regard and hold very, very close to the heart of your loved ones that love you. I can only imagine the grief of the families. I can only imagine. And to see what they're going through and not understanding, I ask God, what do I tell the people? What do I speak about change? How can I talk about change on the day of Sunday concerning Christmas? Well, Wednesday he showed me, for you guys that were here on Wednesday night, about Elizabeth and Zechariah. How when Zechariah was in the temple doing his service, he even doubted the angel of God and became dumb. Couldn't speak, couldn't hear. But that's a priest, a priesthood that didn't believe the angel. The same angel then goes and meets with Mary. And Mary doesn't doubt, but she ponders why she was chosen and why she's greeted in that manner of being favored. She holds it in her heart. She doesn't speak. She ponders on it. And as a mother that has seen an angel, and the angel says that you shall bear forth a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel, for God is with us. To fulfill prophecy of Isaiah, that unto us a child shall be born. She understood the prophetic words of Isaiah and the scrolls. She understood that there was going to be a Savior that can be born into this world. She understood. But she did not understand how she was chosen. Mary was chosen. Mary was in high regards to women, but she was not above all women. Favor was just found on women. But she was found even more favorable. Can you imagine what took place in her life? Because the moment the angel spoke it, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, she had already conceived that quick. How many of us want God to come through that quick for us? Huh? It's okay to want it. It's okay. When God says that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall conceive, she was already impregnated that quick. And supernatural powers will begin to make change in your life based upon what God wants for your life. And I take this from the reading of the Gospel of St. Luke. Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail you that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, not above, among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you, Lord, that the word is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it is the word of life. It is the light unto this world. And Father, I thank you that the word is also a lamp unto my feet, that it guides me in everywhere I go. Father, I just thank you that you have sent the light of this world unto us, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Change. Can you imagine what kind of change Mary was going to go through? Can you imagine that? Now, I know I've seen my wife bear my children. Her body went through a change. That wasn't the only thing that changed. Thank you, Jesus. She's in the back room. Moods change. Hallelujah. Moods change. Your body changes. Your house changes. Can you imagine Joseph I already have to deal with, she's pregnant, and I don't know her like that. So the angel comes to Joseph. Settle down, son. It's okay. He said it like that. Because Joseph was like, okay, that's it. I'm putting her out. I'm done. Through. How many of you have been put out because a blessing has come your way? Someone heard a prophetic word that was spoken to you. And they put you out because of jealousy, misunderstanding, and they don't quite understand you. Now let's see this now. So she understood the scrolls of Isaiah. She understood that a Messiah was to come. Mary already knew, okay, now I read in the scriptures that there is a Messiah coming. And I would have never thought it'd be me. Why me? Why did you select me? Can you imagine the change that started taking place in her mind first? And then that the angel comes to visit her and said, and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and God is coming from you. She could have got real religious real quick. I got this now. God is on my side. God is going to see me through. God is going to provide all the way through for me. Because he sent his angel. Well, let's read on in the story and you'll begin to see that as time went on, they didn't make room for her in the hotel. They didn't even make reservations for her. Much less make preparations for the birth of the Messiah. So, I don't know about you, but I know that I had to make sure I had the bag ready with clothes. I had to make sure that I had gas in the car. I had to make sure that the other kids were taken care of before we ever went to the hospital to have our babies. Preparation had to be put in place so that everything would be everything. You know what I mean? In place. So now you can imagine what Joseph and Mary are going through when my water's about to break. I feel it. Contractions are getting real, because, you know, Mary's real cool like that. She didn't scream. She didn't get crazy. She didn't say, you did this to me. How could she? Because it wasn't Joseph. Joseph looked back and said, it wasn't me. Take that up with him. It wasn't me. I didn't do this to you. So, you know, Joseph like, wait. But we're with God. This is God. We got to go. But then they wouldn't make room. There was no room. Can you imagine the challenge in the mind? I've got the Messiah right here. I have the Messiah in me. Jesus Christ is coming. You ain't got room for me? Kind of like how it is today. We ain't got room for God. We don't make room for God because it just ain't conducive to what we're going through. We don't make room for God. Kind of like the society today that don't want to make room for God. So what happens? Even more prophecies of way before are being fulfilled. When she's denied to the end, she winds up in a manger. Now, we know the nativity story. We know the nativity story. She winds up in a manger, but can you imagine what's going through her head? You remember who writes the Bible? It's men. Men. From a man's point of view, you ask a man to tell you how the conversation went with somebody and so-and-so, they're going to tell you, it was good. But you ask a woman tell you their perspective of the conversation, you got 30 minutes of just the things that were said in between before you get to the thing that was supposed to be said. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Man will just tell you, my wife said, maybe what did so-and-so say on the phone? They're good, they just need prayer. We flip the script, and I asked my wife, what did Sister So-and-so say? Well, she said she was driving on the way to work, and then something just spoke to her spirit, and she said that we needed to pray for this, and then not only this happened, but also she got something in the Word that backed up what she got, and what we need to pray for? 30 minutes later, I get to the point. So if this had been written by women, we would have Bibles. Because they tell you like this. When I went to the inn, the lights were on. I could smell the bread baking, and I was hungry. And Joseph was nagging because he was hungry too, but yet they wouldn't let him in. And I had to tell and pray for him because he was about to lose his own salvation because they wouldn't let him in. See, the Bible would begin to declare something different if it was written by women, because women have a tendency to tell you everything that you need to know that men just don't want to know. For you single men in the room, let me help you. No, you married men, let me help you. The only way you get through life is learning how to keep your mouth shut. When a woman is speaking, you don't add fuel to the fire. You move out the way. Scripture proves it. I showed you on Wednesday, Zechariah had to say, shut up. He couldn't speak. He had to give me pen paper. Couldn't speak. And you know Elizabeth was loving this. Elizabeth was probably, what's wrong with you? I knew you were in sin. You know, you thought the same thing. Why would he be all silenced? And if Mary would have wrote the story for herself, you probably would have heard some choice words in there concerning, devil, you a liar. She would have rebuked the innkeeper. She would have rebuked the baker. She would have even rebuked the way how it looked in the manger. You ain't putting me to lay down in that dung. Hello, it wasn't clean. It was not clean. It's where animals that are not potty trained sleep, eat. So she has to go in there and birth the child in the mess. Can you imagine the writings of Mary during this time if she would have wrote it? You know what I'm talking about, because y'all want to go, you want those soft pillows. You want the soft sheets. You want a bed that's going to feel good. And especially when you're pregnant. You want that long body pillow that... I know about this. I watch my wife. And then when she can't get comfortable, and the tossing and turning, and then the tossing and turning, and the tossing and turning. And then when she has a bad dream, she reaches over, and you think, oh, baby, it's going to be okay. And she grabs your hand, about to break all your fingers, because she's squeezing so hard. That's when you know you're in love. I'm trying to help you, man. When you reach over to kiss her and she tells you, just think, I can smell your cologne, it's making me sick. Every aroma is making me want to throw up. And then it's like, you bought me this cologne. This is how we got in this situation, was that cologne. Let's get back. Whoa. I got in my own. I got my own, Jeff. I did. My own. But yeah. But Mary was probably looking at Joseph. It's like, this doesn't line up with this being God. How are you going to put me in all this mess with all this stuff all over the floor? It don't look like there's a king that is coming here. It don't look like there's no king going to be born here. This can't be God. This can't be God. Joseph, what did we do wrong that we're here and the king is coming through me? What did we do wrong? Mary would have wrote it just like that. What did we do wrong? Why are we not getting blessed? Why are we not getting what we need? Why are we not getting what is necessary to bring the king here? Why are we not getting what we need? Mary is probably going nuts because the contractions are getting closer and closer and the pain is being well stricken into her body. And then she's looking over to Joseph and saying, this can't be God. This can't be God. The angel came and told me that this is the Christ. Why am I in here? Why couldn't it have been taken care of the way we're supposed to be taken care of? I understand that God has a way of showing us something. But when it don't look like God, he's still in the midst. Even when there's stuff all around you that smells and don't look good, he is right there in the midst. They didn't have, they had to leave their house. They had to leave their family. They had to go to another countryside. They had to go somewhere else to get what was necessary. They couldn't stay where they were at. They had to go someplace else. Then the miracle takes place. When he is born, he, the Christ, comes forth. A star shines in the darkness. How many times have we been in the darkest time of our life? Mary is probably looking up and saying, Lord, I need you now. I need you right now. Right now. And then the manifestation of the star comes forth and it speaks unto the shepherds out in the field at night. Where he takes the sheep at night that signifies one thing. Oh, look at this. Look. If you understand scripture, shepherds do not take the sheep at night during the winter. It comes in the month of September, the ninth month. He's all up there. And the angel comes in the ninth month that is producing the fruit into this earth. This is, I bring salvation. When the angel comes to the shepherd, the angel says unto the shepherd, unto this hour, follow the star, because your Savior has been born. Oh, my God. And you will find the baby in swaddling clothes in a manger. Yes, sir. So now the shepherds launch out after the star to see. And when they see this baby, they look upon this child and marvel of what was spoken out with the sheep at night. Where the daylight will shine the brightest is with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Mary now looking over at Joseph and say, who are all these people that are coming to see my child in the mess that is all around me? There was not a midwife. There was not a nurse. There was no surgeon. There still has to be something natural about this. The Bible in Jewish tradition says that the first male child that comes forth and breaks the uterus wall must be sacrificed unto God. That's why he has to come and break the walls to be sacrificed for you and me. Before any other sacrifice was done, when he broke the wall of her uterus, he was already given to God already. Blood was shed because he shed the blood. Oh, my God. He's breaking down the walls already in your life. Yes, thank you, Lord. He is doing so much more than just coming as a baby. He's coming as a king. As a king. Now, watch this. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Now, the angel speaks to the Magi. Magi were the wise men of scripture and astrology. So when they see something different in the skies, they take note. That's a new star. A king is born. The angel speaks unto him, you will find him wrapped. So now they begin to go after him. And they follow this star. How is it that the wise men know how to follow something they still don't know yet? But they can follow after what thus saith the Lord that was spoken to them. Where it was at, they did not know. They just had to follow the star. Which speaking about even you wise men that know the word, follow after God and he'll lead you to greater things. But you, oh, then the wise men begin to come and they look upon her and say, my God. But the first thing that took place is the wise men bowed. The scripture says, then their treasures were open. They didn't open the treasures and then bring it. They first bowed in worship. Mary begins to see now there's some truth to this. It may not have gone the way I wanted it to go. I may not be where I wanted it to be. I may not be comfortable in the place where I'm at. But in my transition on what's going on to bring forth this king, I have to be out in a place that I don't want to be. I have to be exposed. I have to be exposed and everybody to see me in my nakedness and see me not having what I need right now. And then all of a sudden, the magi come and they open up and then they worship. The gifts are presented to them. See, sometimes you got to be vulnerable and naked before men so that God can raise you up in that hour and take you to a place where gifts are presented to you because you gave up so much. You shut some things down. You moved out of a place to get to another place. You've been vulnerable in the eyes of man, and they've watched you and they looked at you. And then Mary's looking back at Joseph and say, I now believe this is the Christ. Sometimes you got to go through some things that don't make any sense whatsoever. And you've got nothing. You can't even pay bills. You can't even look at your husband and say, I love you without crying because you're going through so much. Your husband can't even look at you and say, I love you because you're going through so much. And you can't even look at your children and say, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it because I know what's inside of me. It may not look like it right now, but I've got God on my side. It don't look like I have much, but what I have is a promise. I have a promise, and that promise is what I hold on to. And this I'm here to tell you, she understood one thing. Oh, my God, provisions came when she was just still and trusting in herself and in God when she had an angel come and speak to her. How many angels have spoken unto you and said, it's going to be okay. Don't you let it go. Let it birth in front of everybody. Let it come out. It may not look pretty. It may not look right. But when it's birthed, you're going to say, I'm naked before you, God. Even if they look at me and they don't understand, I'm naked before you, God. I don't have a covering. I just got you, God. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know why it's so hard. Oh, my God. Why, God? Why? I understand the heaviness. I understand the despair. I understand that we don't have what we need, even at that. And we go through so much doing his will. But yet, you do it because you know you're supposed to do it. Can you imagine what they were saying concerning them, concerning Joseph? coming against everything. They thought you were crazy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How can you go there? And you have your fiance pregnant before you've even gotten married. You would have been an outcast in the Jewish tradition.
That's right, that's right.
You would have not received the blessing under that tradition. But you had to break tradition to get the blessing. Religious aspects in life had to be cast out. So God said, come out of that religious system and follow after me. It hurts. It don't feel good. It don't even look like God. But you know you got to do it. And you know it hurts. But yet you're out there all by yourself. You feel like ain't nobody calling. Ain't nobody texting. Ain't nobody even sending you a message on Facebook to encourage you. You're just going through by yourself. Wondering how you're going to make it through. Bills are due. Forget about the gifts. Just pay my bills. Just pay my bills. And you wonder, God, what am I to do now? And then the angel comes to them. Go to Egypt. Why? Because King Herod has put a decree to kill the blessing. You have received promise from God. How many people want to come and kill it? How many people want to come against you? And all you did was just be quiet. Mary was quiet. Quiet. Why is everything feel like everything's falling on me? How are we going to do what I'm called to do? How are we ever going to just do what you said to do? But you want to send me back into Egypt where we were delivered out of? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back into the world system. I don't want to be subject to the laws of the land like that without you, God, being the ruler of that land, that system. That's your today. We're in Egypt right now where the system doesn't allow God to rule and reign in the government system. But yet the church is crying out, God Almighty, help us. Oh my God. Can you imagine what Mary was going through thinking about her precious child that now has an understanding? This is some truth to what was spoken. I've got to do everything in my power to protect this child. But to be put into the system in Egypt where they serve other gods. And you think your child is safe when you send them into school. And you take it at face value that your kids will be safe. But yet, you're supposed to send them in the system that doesn't allow God to rule. Every day is a miracle when your children come home. We're seeing signs and wonders, guys. Even when your own kids come home. Can you imagine what Mary had to endure? Seeing her child go through what going through, watching him as he's growing old. His adolescent years, much less, doesn't even speak about the toddler years. I told you, if it had been written by a mama, You would have all the years of Jesus chronologically in order. Because Mama knows how to hold on to the artwork that was presented to her. Even when there are kindergartens. And when they made their first string of garland with popcorn or with macaroni, mamas know how to hold on to that. And they find places to store it and keep it. And the first ornament that was ever made while they were in school, mama knows how to keep it even to this day. And they may be old and married, but they know how to keep it. Why? Because moms know how to cherish what God has given them. I'm not saying daddies, you don't. I'm saying that daddies, you'll say, okay, let's put it in this box and put it away. Because when it's just in the way, it's just in the way. Why? Because our minds are wired just a little bit different, but yet we're still the same. Can you imagine as she's watching her child grow up and how she wants now to understand that's God, but yet I have to guard God and protect God. How am I going to do that? As time goes on, just like most of us, our kids grow up, find themselves in trouble before the law. That drives us nuts. We don't know what to do. And yet Jesus is brought before the law. Can you imagine what mama's going through? Can you imagine after all the exploits and wonderful love that was displayed on earth that she watched her son and said, that's my boy. That's my son. That's my son. That's my son. I know you gave him to me for everybody, but I carried him. Can you imagine as she sees all this greatness taking place, feeding the multitude, and she's just like, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. And then to turn around and see the same people that he fed turn and spit on him and go before the judicial system and say, send me out a murderer and a thief and kill him. Crucify him. Kind of what happens in society today, where we know that gun control is necessary. We know it is. You don't need to have no machine gun to go hunting. You ain't going to shoot into a whole herd of deer. Quit fooling yourself. Oh, guns don't kill people. People kill people. It's exactly what took place in the Bible when they took him before Pontius Pilate. What did he do? He washed his hands. This is on you. This is an innocent man. I find no fault in him, but I wash my hands. Is that on me right now? Turn on the front lights, please. This goes out to the government. Don't wash your hands because of innocent blood. Take your stand. President, take your stand for the people and do what is right in the eyes of God. And bring this nation back to the way it was ordained of God, under God, one nation under God. Do not wash your hands and be like that and say, I turn him over to the people, for the people are killing people. Now you have the right and the authority to bring order back into this nation. Whatever president sees this, whenever you see it, it will be for such a time as this. I declare unto you, get back into your Bible, in which the ordination of God that presented you to be authority over this nation, you must listen and obey the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Mary looking at, okay, now he's going before Pilate. He's going to see that he's innocent, and he's going to let him go. Can you understand now the pain and disgust in Mary saying, you're going to crucify the innocent one and let the murderer go? Kind of like the position that we're at in this country. That the innocent are the ones that are always getting hurt, losing their life, Can you imagine what Mary was going through? I'm telling you, there'd be a whole different Bible if Mary would have wrote it. Gospels would have been totally different. I'm not coming against the word. I'm telling you the truth. I can look at every woman in here and tell I would have wrote it differently. Why? Because a woman's perspective is going to have more detail. And these were scribes. These were writers that understood some things. They couldn't even get it right. But the Holy Spirit led them to write what needed to be written. Amen. Can you imagine what Mary was going through when she sees Jesus now going to the cross, being whooped and being beaten? I'm telling you, God has a place in your heart right now to see you come out of where you're at and to bring you to the place where you need to go. It may not look like it's supposed to be like this. It may look like you don't even have enough to pay attention. But God's going to see you through. May not make sense at all. At all. And it hurts. You feel alone. And don't understand. To see your precious gift broken before you. Whooped. That the sides of his flesh come off. That you could see even to his bone. Can you imagine what Mary was saying in that hour? Can you imagine the pain that she went through, remembering when it was a baby, to seeing the angels? Where are the angels now when your gift gets exposed and your blessing gets exposed and becomes vulnerable? Where's the angels now? Where is God now? Not knowing that it had to be this way for their greater cause. Mary would have wrote about it different. But yet she knew she had to go through what she was going through to fulfill the greater cause. It hurts, and I know it hurts. Every single person in here can understand the pain of seeing a loved one go through something that bad. I encourage you, don't let this pass you by. Grab hold to the love now. Because some point in your life, you're going to need him to come in. If you don't know Jesus today as your personal, meaning relationship, not head knowledge, personal, in your heart, personal. If you don't know him as your Savior like that, now's the time to get saved. Everyone stand to your feet, please. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that he can forgive your sins, all your trespasses, all your iniquities, and be forgiven, and if you don't know where you're going, if you were to die today, now is that day that you say yes to Jesus. And all you have to do is acknowledge him today without making anybody feel uncomfortable. Let's everybody repeat after me. Dear God, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. All of my sins. Even the ones I don't even know about. I heard about Jesus, your son, that came into this world to save us from our sin. I believe he is the Son of God. And I believe that he was crucified. And he died. But I believe on the third day he rose again. And now sits at the right hand of the Father. And all power and authority has been given over to Jesus. And because I believe, My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my soul is saved for eternity. And God, I thank you that it's that simple, that I make a plea and a pledge to try hard, to live right, in love, mercy, and grace. No judgment and no condemnation. God, I love you. And I thank you that today is my new day. And that all the angels in heaven are rejoicing because I said yes to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, you are saved. If you prayed it for the fifth and sixth time, you are saved. Amen. The powerful thing about the gospel is that it's true. It's simple. I encourage you, embrace your children, your family, your friends. Embrace them. The love, the perfect love, that means unconditional love, will cast out all fear. Doesn't mean it's going to make it better. It just means it casts out the fear. And they too can receive love. Amen. I bless you in the name of the Lord from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I bless your coming and your going. I thank God for you. You are a blessing. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. It's a different account to the birth of Jesus. I pray that it blessed you. Not that I need to know. I just want to see your life changed. Amen. When you hold love in high regard, you'll see things take place. Amen. It is time for tithe and offering. Don't head out of here. Don't take off. That's your opportunity to get blessed. Amen. As you pass out the envelopes, please, Melissa, will you pass them out, please, and pens? I want to share something that's very special to me, and I believe that what God is doing. My good friends, Miss Terry and John Woods, would you please stand? This precious couple are friends. They're my friends. They have been in ministry for a very long time. She's seen me come up and think, oh my God, how'd you get saved? And I asked the same question to her, how'd you get saved? She's known me for a very long time. Y'all have heard John talk about how we met and how I've talked about how we met. I have watched and seen y'all's ministry go through a lot. I've been a part of it with your ministry and gone through it with you. And I thank God because God's word never fails. We may think there's something that's wrong, but God has his plan in it. Many prophecies have come y'all's way. Many. And recently in this house, God spoke a lot of things concerning where you're going. Well, we never thought India. We never heard India. We heard Africa. We heard, what was it, England. And now we see things coming to pass. Prophet Woods has an opportunity to go overseas to India. And I don't mean like months and months from now. I mean in February of 2013. So much, so quick that has taken place. And they are hungry. Hungry for such an outpouring. I did a PowerPoint for it and everything. You probably saw the thing on the introduction. Our missions are to send those that are willing to be sent to go. Amen. I pray that God not only sends you, but he blesses you. He demonstrates through you. Because all through Scripture, he used a person to demonstrate kingdom. Amen. And I want to bless you, man, God, as you go. And I believe your family's staying behind on this trip. But that your family be blessed. Be comforted and secure while you go on a travel. I want you to come and tell the people the encounters and what's been going on with Sarup and all the conversations. So let them know that this isn't something that just is taking place. It's been in the works, and it's just now happening.
Amen.
Amen. The reason why I say this, guys, I want you to start sowing into this mission field. You can sow into the church for him, or you can sow directly to him. But I want to send him off. He has needs to be met. He needs to have the plane ticket already paid for. But once he gets there, he's taken care of. But he's going to be gone 30 days. 30 days. I want you to come forth and talk to the people. And Terry, we're with you and your family. You're not alone. We're going to be right there with you. And believe God that he's going to do everything he said he's going to do. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. We had probably about 15 years ago met a young man by the name of Satish Kumar, who is today the minister of the gospel. Amen. In a casual setting, and so actually some mutual friends of mine and Marty's. And I sat with this young man just, you know, in the Word and the Lord. And, well, that message is on me, bro. So I'm trying to get my thoughts together. And I didn't know that I was entertaining in this young man probably what would have been some part of the tapestry of my destiny and maybe even perhaps what's happening in this ministry. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you why. The young man I was entertaining that I was asked to come meet and, you know, just share with and love on and be kind to, he had high waters up to here, little tight clothes, and he talked like this. And it was real hard to understand this cat. And I'm looking at him like, what am I doing here? This, you know, and I'm not the one for this kind of stuff. And I stayed in with him anyway, ministered with him, and just encouraged him. That's what I did. I encouraged this young man, okay? Today. 15 years later. Today, by the end of this month, the young man I sat with will have cut the ribbon strings on a dome that will be seating 60,000 people.
Wow.
As a result of that sowing of my time, oh, Lord, help me. Give me a second. Yeah, forgive me. You don't know who's coming into your midst. You don't know whose hand you're shaking. You don't know who you're hugging that needs a hug. You don't know who you're praying for when a prayer needs to be prayed. We always look for the big thing. When pastors preach, I was like, where he gonna go with this message here, man? I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I was looking at him like, oh, Lord, I'm glad the lights are down low. I love my brother, but I'm, you know? I'm just going to be honest with you. I was thinking, I can't wait to see how he's going to swing this one. And when he swung it, it hit me so doggone hard. And I was just sitting there thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my brother, Lord. Thank you for the relationship that you have ordained from heaven. We ain't even got to really just talk. And you have a way of just letting me know I'm at the right place at the right time. And I'm going to tell you something. When I come up in here, y'all, I'm so broken, man. You know, gosh, you know, a good number of people in this place have done ministry with me. I came in here so broken. But in a matter of that fast, in a very lowly manner, God has brought so much restoration to my life and my spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And y'all, I've had the opportunities to travel around the world many times. Marty knows that, across the nation many times. My name will tell you, people come to and fro in our ministry and have tried to jerk me everywhere. But in this season right here, don't be real honest with you, seemed like to me the only prayer that really mattered was the prayer that got me here. And I got to tell you, it was my wife that prayed that prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as I came, this, and I guess probably it's been 90 days. It seems like it's been forever, but about not, maybe 120 max, that I've really been just concentratedly, you know, stuck here. And, well, okay. And then I go into a place of prayer. And then the man of God said, the cave. I've still been in the cave. I haven't gotten rid of that message out of my spirit. Because it's those kind of messages that touch me. Then we go all the way around to a manger with some cows and horses and dung, where it don't look like God's going to do a thing in that kind of a situation and circumstance. And all I can tell you is I got a phone call by a family member connected to this meta, not mega. We're used to mega here. This is a meta, M-E-T-A, meta church with tens of thousands. And they're telling me, would you come to India? And what's interesting, I'm closer to this guy, the one I just told you, closer to his wife than I am him. The invite didn't come from him. It came from his brother-in-law, who is filled with the Holy Spirit and does evangelism like we do it here. And so what has happened is that by the time I land in India, I will be going into their larger churches. The particular city I'm going into has got 13 million people in it. I found out last night the country's got 1 point something billion. It's a huge, huge nation of people. And they're industrial, and they're smart, they're intelligent. And for the most part, their culture, they're very humble people. And not all of them are rich either. There's a caste system. And there's a lot of poor people. And I'm going to the poor people. Amen. Amen. There's no glory in it. There's no limelight in it. Ain't no money in it. So it's kind of hard to, after all we've been through, go home and tell her about that. guess what, honey? Phil called to India. What? So the experience is stretching, but I can't say no, and I can't deny them, and the calls keep